And it is almost 10:30 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1:30 p.m. in the East Coast, and it's 8:30 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is July 11, 2016, and this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today, I want to recognize with all of you the mess that we all in. The mess, the world, the global chaos that is folding before our eyes, and we need to get a grip of the situation and try to do something about it. If you try to make sense, it doesn't make sense. If you try to understand, it cannot be understood. If you want to catch your breath, you can't. As you see or you can hear, we are late almost half an hour because life is life, and whatever it is, it took the time to get to you. But trust me, I'm here with all my love and prayer that this world will become a better one, and together we can make it different, and we can make it better. There is no question about it. You know, the fact that everything is unfolding, it means that we're going to fold it back to a good and better position. We have a situation that happened in Dallas, Texas, and I grieve with you all about that incredible, incredible attack on policemen, on people that do their duty and serve the community. And the fact that we have, of course, we have situation that the things are getting out of hand, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter it doesn't give anybody the reason to take their law to their hands and do something. It matters, every life matters. And it's when I say it doesn't matter, it doesn't give you the reason. It doesn't give anybody the chance or the possibility to take action, to do harm to others. More arms does harm. It doesn't help. And if we want to, the big rabbi from Lubavitch used to say, if you want to take off the darkness, bring some light. So let's shed some light. Let's open with Rudy Giuliani, the man, the legend, the man that I admire, and I hope one day that he could become a president, but he chose a different route. But bless his heart, he's still serving the people of the world. Let's listen to him.
Welcome back to Face the Nation. With us now is former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Mr. Mayor, I want to ask you about something former Speaker Newt Gingrich said, which is that he said white Americans can't understand the extra risk that comes with being black in America, and that whites instinctively underestimate the danger of the black experience. What do you think about that?
I agree with that completely. I agree largely with the sentiments of Congressman Elijah Cummings. The reality is we have to look differently at race in America if we're going to change this. We've been looking at it the same way for 20 years, and here's where we are. And we both have to try to understand each other. First, let me say my deep sympathy for the people of Minnesota, people of Louisiana, people of Texas and of Dallas. And I'd like them all to remember that although these incidents happen in different ways, they all share it together as Americans. We share this violence together as Americans. So maybe whites have to look at it differently and blacks have to look at it differently. Whites have to realize that African-American men have a fear, and boys have a fear of being confronted by the police because of some of these incidents. Some people may consider it rational, some people may consider it irrational, but it's a reality, it exists. And there's a second reality in the black community. The second reality in the black community is there's too much violence in the black community. So a black will die 1% or less at the hands of the police and 99% at the hands of a civilian, most often another black. So if you want to protect black lives, then you got to protect black lives not just against police, which happens rarely, although with tremendous attention, and which happens every 14 hours in Chicago. Every 14 hours, and we never hear from Black Lives Matter. Well, so if you want to deal with this on the black side, You've got to teach your children to be respectful to the police, and you've got to teach your children that the real danger to them is not the police. The real danger to them, 99 out of 100 times, 9,900 out of 1,000 times, are other black kids who are going to kill them. That's the way they're going to die.
So, Mr. Mayor,
now on the white side, we have to understand that whether we get it or not, there is this extraordinary fear of the police, and police have to institute a policy of zero tolerance, like we did for crime in New York. Zero tolerance, no disrespect. Way back 14 years ago, Commissioner Howard Safer began a program in New York City called Courtesy, Professionalism, and Respect. It was continued by the next three police commissioners, including the one you just had on now.
Mr. Mayor, let me just ask you. You start off by saying that white Americans have to understand that this is happening in the black community, and then at the end you said members of the black community have to teach their children to behave in front of the police. That those messages seem to conflict with one another.
Of course they don't. If I were a black father and I was concerned about the safety of my child, really concerned about it, and not in a politically activist sense, I would say be very respectful to police. Most of them are good. Some can be very bad. And just be very careful.
And so what do police...
I'd also say... be very careful of those kids in the neighborhood and don't get involved with them, because, son, there's a 99% chance they're going to kill you, not the police. And we got to hear that from the black community. And what we got to hear from the black community is how and what they are doing among themselves about the crime problem.
All right, and we are back. The idea is clear that we all in the midst of, incredible incidents with the police, but we need to bear in mind that the crime is built inside those communities everywhere. And it's about time we start cleaning and maybe reposition ourselves in front of the order that we need to give to everybody. It's a pity that it arrived to this point, but this is the boiling point that everybody have to pay attention to. And, you know, it's really so sad that those representatives that served the nation had to arrive to this point, because it means that somebody was sleeping on the job. There is no way that it arrived to this position, at this point, when there was not neglect. Neglect was all over, and the police, I know they're doing hard work, but they are not the decision makers. And if you're talking about policy, if you're talking about what we have to do, instead of spending only tax money on some incredible project that sometimes they are useless, try to invest in people's life. And, you know, they are mad. They are mad because they don't have the education, they don't have the position, they cannot have the life that they were aspired to. And it's annoying and it's aggravating. And of course, people that live in the ghetto feel that they need to have some assistance, and they are right. And it's not charity. It's not charity. They know better. Now, these days, education is such a factor in where you arrive to in life that we know what's the difference between a country that can stabilize themselves because they have the education and knowledge, and when the country cannot. Think what happened to Sudan. Sudan right now, they have a chaos. South of Sudan that got in their independence in 2011 are in chaos. And why is that? Because the north, you know, the north was a religious Muslim, and the south wanted to be, you know, their part were a Christian one. And instead of making a plan and positioning themselves to, you know, to parties and create some kind of democracy that everybody inspired to, they kept on fighting. And since 2011, they had a civil war. 2013, they stopped. They said maybe they have to stop again. You know, maybe they can arrange something. But no, they didn't have the knowledge to get up and create their own country, I guess, and they are again in a mess. And all the people that came from outside need to leave. From Sudan, everybody need to leave because it's going to be chaos and it's going to be bad. So if we don't give them what they need, the tool, the tools is knowledge. Knowledge, it's not something that you buy or you box and you mail. Knowledge is education. And education is day by day. And today we can learn everything they teach us. And what we learn now, that we're not going to repeat the mistake of the history. And the NATO summit that just ended started a new drill. And Putin is all alert. So let's listen to this.
Well, speaking of World War III, NATO and Russia are now practicing for war on both sides of the Russian border. This is nothing new for those of you that have been paying attention to Gary's reports over the past year. Michael Birnbaum for the Washington Post reports when unidentified aircraft were speeding towards northern Estonia. One recent day, British fighter jets stationed nearby scrambled to intercept them. Screaming across the country, they quickly identified the targets: two Russian fighters and a spy plane. It was just the latest confrontation between the West and Russia in a region that has become a tripwire for conflict between nuclear superpowers. In the 2 years since Russia annexed Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula, rather, the tiny Baltic nations of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania have taken an oversized role in facing down Russia's challenge to the West. The Kremlin has been building up its military along its border with the former Soviet satellites. Western allies of the Baltics, worried that the region is vulnerable, have responded by pouring tanks, warplanes, and soldiers into an area slightly larger than the state of Florida. They will commit thousands more troops to the three countries and Poland at a summit starting on Friday. The British decision to leave the European Union makes NATO even more important as an alliance that binds the West together. NATO leaders say, amid concerns that the political and economic turbulence unleashed by the decision will shrink Britain's outsized role in global affairs. The departure plans come at a critical time of escalation between Russia and the West. And that's something, again, that Gary has done many reports showing the military buildup of NATO along the bordering countries around Russia. It is extremely concerning to see.
Yeah, it's extremely concerning because the idea of building some military power around the border with Russia is something that calls for trouble. If you guys don't realize who you're dealing with, let's give you a wake-up call. That wake-up call that tells you that you don't mess with fire. And sometimes you have to bring along, you know, the Russian and talk to them. Now, Mr. Putin had something to say about that.
I cannot help asking those who have caused this situation, do you realize now what you've done?
Speaking nearly a month ago, President Vladimir Putin at the International Economic Forum in St. Petersburg, Russia, warned the group of international journalists there repeatedly that Europe, the United States, and Russia were drifting towards full-scale war.
We know year by year what's going to happen, and they know we know. It's only you that they tell these fables and you buy it and spread it to the citizens of your countries. Your people do not feel a sense of the impending danger. This is what worries me. How do you not understand that the world is being pulled in an irreversible direction? That is the problem. But they pretend like nothing's going on. I don't even know how to get through to you people anymore.
And the big news is, a month later, almost a month later, after we first reported on it in mid-June, there has been almost no Western coverage of it at all. And that's exactly what Putin was getting at. Whether you love Putin or hate Putin, if the leader of Russia, with thousands of intercontinental ballistic missiles and cruise missiles, is telling the West, I don't know how to get through to you, your media is controlled, you're being manipulated, NATO is putting missiles on our borders, we're having to move missiles in, you've overthrown Ukraine, you're on an offensive, you're funding and protecting radical Islam, do you know what you've done? Do you know what you've done, as he said at the UN, destabilizing the Middle East? Why are you doing this? Where are the sound minds across the political spectrum who should be stopping this? Russia has 3 overseas military bases. You have hundreds. You have your spies inside our country trying to overthrow it. You have your CIA people trying to get into our embassies. You are at war with us. And the average American, the average European, the average Brit is not aware of this.
Another threat that President Obama mentioned was ISIS. Well, who on earth armed them? Who helped to arm the Syrians that were fighting against Assad? Who created the necessary political climate that facilitated this situation? Who pushed for the delivery of arms to the area? Do you really not understand as to who is fighting in Syria?
But the issue of a major world leader saying that we're moving to the brink of war and it's not in our news, that's the big story. It shows how incredibly controlled things are. Deutsche Bank, one of the biggest banks in the world, is plunging right now. Much bigger than Lehman Brothers. If it continues, it'll make 2008 look tame in comparison. Elites are building armored fortresses and redoubts all over the world, admitting they believe collapse is coming. Governments are digging in. Russia is digging in. Our supposed government is collapsing our borders and bringing people in with diseases and ignoring the Supreme Court rulings. It seems an age of madness or megalomania is now upon us. We've seen great.
All right. You know, this guy is a little, Jones is a little too much as far as scaring people. I'm not thinking that the way to fix the situation is to scare people, but we have to put the facts in, you know, and the truth must be said. We had just concluded a convention in of NATO in Poland, and they established the idea that they're going to position a weapon against Russia, and it's the excuse is Crimea. Now, Crimea was a part of some kind of negotiation between the American and the Russians in 2013. Let's be clear about that. When Russia helped dismantle chemical weapon that Assad had in Syria. Let's talk 2013. Mr. Kerry, Secretary of State Kerry, said that Assad is attacking these people with chemical weapon. Putin then took responsibility. And it was parallel to the time that Crimea was in negotiation to become part of Russia. And that's why they made election also to turn to be a part of Russia. And that all because the European Union wanted to create Ukraine to become a part of the European Union. So we had a situation with Assad and chemical weapon. We had the European Union wanted to have Ukraine in the European Union, so the forces of the European Union will be in the face of Russia. And Russian side of Crimea, which was historically a part of Russian, wanted to become to be a part to secure the border. All right, that's clear. So once the American Kerry and President Obama decided not to go to war, they decided to dismantle and cooperate and, you know, join venture with the Russian to dismantle the chemical weapon. Now, once the chemical weapon was removed and sent by sea to Italy and then Germany, which I never knew what they did with that. They said that they're going to dispense of it in the sea. But some of it did not end up in sea, and it's still, you know, in some place in the Middle East, maybe. So now we have a deal, kind of, an understanding about Crimea. And the NATO meeting right now just ignore this understanding. Now, this understanding, of course, it was between the superpower. The European Union were not a part of it, and that was a shame, I guess. Now that England is taking off from the European Union, there is kind of imbalance that they wanted to fix it with some power. Let's assume that they, you know, just trying to empower themselves and they don't pose any threat to Russia, that's for sure, because they are not going to attack. Now, the Russian needs to understand that it's repositioning. Everything is repositioned. So they didn't know, understand it maybe. It didn't sound like it's going to be okay with him. But the president needs to understand that once they reposition, he can recalculate and maybe come to a summit that both, all superpower will talk. You have the European Union, you have the English, and you have the Americans and the Russian that need to take a place, you know, in some kind of understanding. This world cannot be managed by standoff. This world cannot be managed by bullying. This world cannot be managed by fire. And you guys, I know that men love to make war, but it's good news now that we have Theresa May, that she's going to become the British Prime Minister after, you know, Andrea Lansom drop out of the race, which is incredible. We're going to have another woman in power, finally. I know that everybody's poising to see if America is going to choose a woman. And many people are really struggling with history and if they're going to jeopardize anything, if they're going to say something about the Clinton. But let's all be, you know, let's all things come to play in the right time. Right now we have Theresa May and we wish her all the best. We wish England a great success in executing the Chapter 50, which needs to be dropped on the European Union in order to get out of it, because nothing can be triggered if not. But meanwhile, the Russians need to start thinking on a different accord with England, and maybe the European Union needs to make another accord. Stand up is not going to work this time. And you can build all your machinery. Negotiation, maybe it's the right trick. And as being born in Israel, I can tell you that so many lectures we had from the European Union and from the superpower, how much we need to negotiate when somebody was bombing us. Now, nobody's bombing you and you don't negotiate. So whatever works for everybody else needs to work for you guys. The European Union needs to come get their act together by, you know, bullying England, telling them that it's going to be bad for them. They're not actually fixing the situation because it's going to be their deal too. So start thinking about the future and stop bullying everybody around. You guys, freedom is not the word, is a way of living. Let's hear some music and we'll be back after that.
The whispers in the morning, of lovers sleeping tight are rolling by like thunder now. As I look in your eyes, I hold on to your body.
Right, that was The Power of Love. My goodness gracious, that song is so old, but it's so incredible. Because maybe we forgot how we can be. Maybe we all forgot that life is really good. And, you know, you get your chances. Think about Portugal yesterday in the Euro Cup. They were, you know, fighting against all odds, the French. They never won against the French in the past. But they had the heart. They, you know, that's what's is happening in the world. You know, people who had it are not tough enough, I guess, for this round of things. And whoever the underdog is winning. And it's a good thing, and it's going to be exciting because now we're going to have to go to the Olympics in Brazil. And they don't care. They feel that the medals are already in their, you know, in place. And I know that we need to pray much for this Olympic, but let's make it happen. If they want to make it happen, God willing, you know, we'll pray that it will be okay and successful. We want to see some action because sports is something that brings together people and from all places, and we cannot see color, we see ability, we see people as far as their exercise go, and it's incredible. I remember those days when, you know, I was following gymnastic when Nadia Comaneci just took it all. She was incredible, you know, but and she's Romania, and she put Romania on the map like a super, super deal. And we can never forget her, and we can never forget Mark Spitz when he won 7 medals, you know, in swimming, which he was incredible. And, you know, I'm old, I'm not following all of it nowadays, but maybe this Olympic will be the one to watch with extra attention, especially when we get so cozy with Egypt. Yesterday, Israel had the honor. Incredible honor to have the foreign minister of Egypt visiting us day after Ramadan, day after the finish of Ramadan, the El Fitr holiday, which is incredibly important for them to come and visit Israel and to talk to us about the situation with the Palestinian, of course, with what's going on in Gaza. Maybe something is softening, maybe building up some new understanding, maybe releasing those hostages that POWs bodies, and I don't know if they have anybody alive, but Hamas, if they want to start a new cycle of goodness, of maybe building up their nation, because we got the knowledge, they can start doing some good. So the Egyptian came to visit. Let's listen to that.
Egypt's foreign minister has held talks with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on the resumption of Israeli-Palestinian peace negotiations. Samuel Shurki's visit to Israel is the first by an Egyptian foreign minister in 9 years. The visit follows a similar meeting in Ramallah with Palestinian officials in June.
It is no longer acceptable to claim that the status quo is the most that we can achieve of the hopes and aspirations of the Palestinian and Israeli peoples. The current state of affairs, unfortunately, is neither stable nor sustainable and does not conform with the hopes and aspirations of both peoples nor with those of the peoples of the region and the world.
The visit is important in many respects as Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi announced he is willing to help revive the peace process between Palestinians and Israelis, which is currently stalled.
Today I call again on the Palestinians to follow the courageous examples of Egypt and Jordan and join us for direct negotiations. This is the only way we can address all the outstanding problems between us and turn the vision of peace based on two states for two peoples into a reality.
This visit comes at the back of France's bid to bring the two sides back to the table by the end of the year.
All right, you understand that sometimes things change. Sometimes enemy can stop being enemies and they can collaborate and make peace and think about a future together in an area. Think about the Egyptian border that's confined with Gaza and Israel. Collaboration can bring both sides together to bring prosperity. It's about time those people in Palestinian territories, Gaza is the Palestinian territory, stop being in a refugee camp. UNRWA needs to dismantle those refugee camps because they have no right to keep people on their own land in refugee camp. It's outrageous that the world let them take the money and fulfill this misery in camps. It's about time you dismantle it and bring them and build it. I spoke to the ambassador of Palestinian in Washington, D.C., 2004, actually. I was running for Senate, so I got his attention. And I told him, you know, you guys take Gaza, you have such a nice beach, just build some hotels in the first row, then build some nice and houses, and then you do condominium and they do the rest. Build some pool, build a park. Why to live in misery? And you get all the attention of the world. And of course, if you let people run your show, it can be only war. But if you let people build it, you can build it really fast. And I know that now that the Turkish are building inside, there is some kind of understanding. Now, think, Turkey just made peace with Russia, just made peace with Israel. Peace, I mean, they forgive and they forget, you know, sorry about whatever happened. I don't even want to recall you guys. It's too nonsense to be recalled. And I'm saying nonsense because the diplomacy that failed, not because of the action. Action are really hurting people. It's something in devastation. But the action afterwards was the one that to blame. So the Turks made peace with the Russian, made peace with Israel, but they never accepted the Sisi regime in Egypt, because they thought that the Muslim brothers are still in charge. So if you think about Turkey now in a position that they don't support the actual regime, it put her in an odd position, which is not good for the end game of the Turks. So maybe it will be time for them to come along and start talking to a Sisi government. Then a Sisi government is doing really hard work, sending people to the Palestinian to talk to them and to the Saudi to talk to them too, because it's a regional thing. And who knows, you know, by all means, if everything is going crazy and we start creating some atmosphere of kumbaya, maybe it will be contagious. Because think about the area that we need to solve the situation. Of course, the Sudan is really aching. Chad is burning, and Africa needs to come to play to the right level, and it's hard. But Libya is forgotten. Libya is in the mix, and some people have some situation there that cannot be resolved, which is pity, because if we neglect them, it's going to be extremely difficult to sit up and fix it later. Remember, we have a problem. We have a problem with fixing those tribes in Libya. But we can arrange to get along in the rest of the world. It's not a must. to keep on fighting. So let's roll a little bit lighter and let's make sure that we can be a part of this universe of ours. Let's listen to some more music and we'll be after that. All right, those are Take That, and it's The Flood. I love this song. I just talked to you about the believers and the keeper of the faith, and we are the keeper of the faith. We love God and we keep the trust. And with trust, we have to be vigilant. And when we are vigilant, it means that we provide everybody with what they need to protect themselves. It's not to make war, it's to teach them defense. And there is a conference coming up that I want you to know about. It's an Israel Homeland Security conference, which will be in July 20th in Rishon LeZion in Israel. And, they say that Israel is one of the world leader in the field of home security. In light of the diverse threat, which require it to plan, develop, and innovate unique means of response, occasionally position at the extreme of imagination. Dissolution and innovation are necessary at both personal level and on the street level commando, through to the military environment and beyond. With baseline status where security and rescue forces must be at the ready and cope with range of challenges, every broad dimension combat method areas execution, they must take into account the enemy operational capability. And more, they need to rise for the unique arsenal that allow coping with the broad spectrum of threat and scenarios. The topic is Israel, the world industry developing technology capability to address the need of, special site proximity sensor, wall penetration sensor, personal counter jamming, smart uniform, identifying human-worn charges, location, all this. And remember, last week we spoke with ex-Yamam Special Forces, Itai Gil, and we've been working together to present some kind of package to the world, and of course to America, to make sure that maybe we can teach people how to protect themselves. And it's important, it's basic, it's nothing much, but it can take, maybe an hour a week or an hour a month, or it can be like a boot camp of 3 days, and you can create a situation when you know what to expect and what to do in case, everything is happening. So defense is really much in the mind of everybody. While we are trying to clear all the mess, we need to make sure that all the goons are expended to elsewhere. It's not an easy task, but if we all play a part, we can make it. Remember, we are many. People saying that, you cannot take control of the situation. We can take control. We just have to make a plan and decide to make it. Nothing in the world will happen if we don't decide to, okay? So if we decide to work together, we will. And Israel as a nation that was threatened for so many years since its existence, actually, and before, and we know, the Jewish people know 2,000 years of diaspora, we can tell you first and personal that you can survive, you can overcome this challenge, and you will survive it. just pay attention and be ready and prepare and learn. It doesn't have to impact your life. It's like security. Don't you have insurance? You do insurance. It never happens, right? You pay insurance forever, nothing happened, right? That's the rule. And now you're going to learn how to defend yourself and nothing happened. You just know. And the people who will risk their own life, they'll know that they might be killed before they do any harm because people are ready. And it's not because they own guns. It's because they will be attentive to the risk. And you never know what can happen. But trust me, if you can protect yourself, please do. So we offer this idea of creating a class everywhere. It can be through, you know, camp. It can be Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. It can be incredible journey here to exchange information with some people. Think about boot camp in the desert, like, you know, like in tents and army type, and 3 days just to kick back and enjoy the incredible art of Krav Maga, that art that the Israeli invented to protect themselves or oneself. All right? Now, there are more news that I want to talk. This is about the conference and about defense. What about praying? Where are we going to put God? Now, this is the Holy Land. Okay, let's pay attention to the very most important thing is this place needs to be holy. It's not a place of war. It's not a place of combat. It's a place where everybody come together and be a kumbaya, yes. So I want to talk to you about a day that is going to be tomorrow. Very important day because people from all parts of Israel is going to come. They're going to come and pay respect to a family that lost their daughter, the 13-year-old daughter, while she was sleeping, and imposter terrorist got in the house and killed her. Devastating. She was beautiful as an angel. Her name was Hillel Yaffa. God bless her soul. And everybody remember her because she was going on Temple Mount. So the mother decided that they want many people to come and comfort and in demonstration of brotherhood to come together and walk Temple Mount. Now, I'm asking, I'm praying, I want to tell everybody, whoever you are, if you're Christian, if you're Muslim, if you're Jewish, if you care about the world and God, you know that we need to get along. It will be really nice, a demonstration of, you know, a new day. If we all can come together and pay respect to family that mourn, like many others. But this is their decision. They wanted people to come together in prayer. This is, and it's, I know that in Temple Mount it's tricky because you don't pray there. It's only only the mosque are, you know, people in the mosque are allowed. But the atmosphere of praying is something, it's of meditation, okay? Let's not talk about routine or anything else. Let's talk about coming together to honor people's life, but to tell also we are going to respect each other. So, God willing, it's going to be a good day tomorrow, and we all can go on Temple Mount, walk together, salute each other in peaceful harmony, and say hello to a new day where we put the stories in the past and start remembering that all the sacrifice that our father, mother made for the Holy Land and for the world to become what it is today is worthy of mankind having peace. It's not a dream. It's a reality. It's a reality that we all gonna become one people under God. Whoever you are, whatever color you have, all the colors of the rainbow, whatever you care for, we're gonna be beautiful together. It takes some effort, takes of, you know, learning discipline, which is not easy, but it's worth it, and it's a worthy cause. And let's all think about the tomorrow. That we need, hey, we need to discover what the rest of the globe, you know. I have a video that I was laughing before because I don't know if I wanted to let you listen to it. You know, Russian Putin was telling us that that the America needs to tell the world about UFO or else, oh, he's gonna tell. Now, just think, we are fighting and there is actually a situation where there is UFO. They know about it, but they're not telling us. Can you imagine that scenario that we will be caught unprepared? Or the world is getting so crazy that God decided to send some messenger to settle us down? Because, oh boy, if we're going to be friendly to each other once UFO, you know, come from out of space. So There is a situation like this. This is a story, a real story that Putin is launching. He said, you know, the American needs to tell us about the truth about that. So I don't know what to tell you, but I know that UFOs activity, they say that it's always around nuclear power. So Iran, watch out. The aliens are coming. I'm much serious than this. No, actually, I'm much funder this. Yes, alien coming around. Watch out. All right? You guys, let's have some music. And I'm thinking that in the half an hour, we're going to wrap it up so we can start, you know, our evening. All right? Let's get some music and we'll be back.
Carry me home. Was born on the back foot, hurt in your eyes. Sometimes I worry, sometimes I worry. I'm incapable, I'm incapable of love.
And we're back. What was it? The Predator? I guess that it really worked well with the UFO scenarios. So I'm telling you guys, I don't know what's the plan in the universes, but the plan is right now to clean the air in China because Chinese people are suffocating from everybody's talking, oh, how great China is working. Now, ask the very simple question, how come the pollution is so high? I know in California it was, and it got better. I heard it got better, but there is nothing comparing, you know, each other. Pollution is something that can be taken care of if you start applying some regime, changes in the way you use your energy. I think that something needs to be done there. So if we're talking about the world, we need to make sure that, you know, that's why in Africa they don't like to cut the forest because they know the nature is too important for them to overlook. And they sacrifice sometimes their own self and not giving up their territory to be built or to be cut, you know, trees and everything. And God bless their heart for that. They have a reason. They understand something about nature that we We feel that we are so smart sometimes and we know everything, and those in Africa, and they protect with their life nature, even though that all those vulture, you know, those people who kills animals is something that we need to stop too. I'm telling you, life can be better, and I want to end this this colloquium today, you know, our little dialogue in the middle of and before and what's gonna come next, and the world empathy to those in need. I want to pray with you to a better tomorrow and a better life everywhere around the globe. I want to wish you love from the bottom of my heart, and I want you to go and have a great day wherever you are, and hug somebody and just remember that you're alive, and thank God for the life that God gave you, and you're worthy of it. You are worthy of everything that, you know, comes your way, and you can make it and turn it. Just choose right, choose to be in the light. Kick the darkness with a little more kindness, a little more light, and see if you can make a better day for tomorrow for everybody else around you. And once we start doing this, you'll see that this will be a wave of goodness. And as they say in the Bible, the wind of good spirit will follow you. It means that you're going to have goodness everywhere you go. It's a different feeling. It's a feeling of joy. You need to feel that. God bless you all from BBS Radio, Orla Benny Davis. Love you. God bless you. Talk to you next week. Ciao, ciao.